Yes, sir. It is Monday. Let's get after it. It's a Monday morning right here with Sports Radio, TSN 1200. We're so glad you're along for this fifth day of December, 2022. Gang's all here. JR, Simmer, and Hammer, and you're waking up to actually an above-normal temperature day. We're going to have a mix of sun and clouds for today. 5 degrees. That'll be the high. Normal high this time of year is around -1. So we're well above normal, actually, for most of the week until it really cools off on Friday. So today's high, 5. Tomorrow looks like a somewhat rainy day. Again, a high of 5. Wednesday, showers, 6 degrees. But again, today, mix of sun and clouds. And 5, as you wake up this morning, we're sitting at +1. As we say good morning, hello, and happy Monday, if there is such a thing, to Sean Simpson. How are you doing this morning, Simmer?
Oh, outstanding, JR. And actually, that little comedy bit Hammer played coming in had me thinking of the late, great Del Griffith, who I watched Planes, Trains, and Automobiles last night. And you talk about a guy that liked to chat a lot. So it kicked off the season. But, man, waking up to that weather and driving in, I got to say, pretty outstanding. It's softly mild out, and we're just counting down December now. So I'm all good. How you doing?
Excellent, thank you. How was your bachelor weekend?
You know what? It was pretty quiet. Echo the dog hung out. The Hammer Time gave me a ride to the game on Saturday. He was supposed to wait for me till 11 or 11:15 and take me home, to which he did not. And so I had to barter with people outside to give me a ride back home.
I told you gate 3. I was there at least until 11:30.
I told you to have the champagne chilling on ice and pick me up at the back. And no champagne, no ice, and no ride.
No me.
Yeah. But no, it ended up being pretty quiet. And yesterday, just a big football day, kind of hanging out and watched a movie last night. And everybody was back. So it was, it was pretty festive. Very nice. And how was your weekend?
You know what? I think I watched a lot of TV on the weekend. I watched a lot of sports and a lot of other TV. I think that's pretty much all I did all weekend. Yeah. It was kind of a hunker down weekend.
Well, you kind of go right from the soccer to the Sens, and then I'm assuming yesterday there were. I thought the football games, in particular in the afternoon, were outstanding.
Yes,
you know, there was just a lot of back and forth, and we had the zone going. I'm cheering for my Hawks. I was cheering for my Bengals. I just had a whole list of teams. The Fish, everybody. I had a bunch of teams yesterday.
What about my Bucks going on tonight?
I'm looking at that. It was nice to see Atlanta. Well, Atlanta lost on Thursday, right?
Atlanta lost on Sunday.
Yeah, they lost to Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay.
That was maybe the last game that anyone was paying attention to.
Oh, okay, because they're 5-7. But so hey, yeah.
That was your Pats on Thursday against my Bills.
That's a good point by you. Yeah.
It was hard to believe that you forgot your Pats played on Thursday.
I know.
But that's 3 days ago.
But now I'm reading all these headlines. I get inside information on my phone. And it says Brady's coming back. I'm like, wow. Like this is outstanding.
It was a good football day. I got caught up on all of that. I did watch a lot of soccer. I got caught up on Yellowstone. I'd fallen behind by a couple episodes.
Nice.
So, although, I see a few people saying this, and it's the fifth season now. For those that have watched the show, I'm not going to get into great detail, for those that haven't. But
I've only watched 20 minutes of the first episode of the new season.
Okay. All right. I'm not going to like a cat out of the bag. I'm just saying that some people, my wife piped up and said, the show seems to be going a little downhill.
Yeah.
And I said, well, it's like a lot of those shows that suck you in because they've got these somewhat outrageous and unbelievable storylines. Mm-hmm. But after a while, after, in this case, 4 seasons, you've kind of done it all. Like the shock factor, there's nothing left that would where you'd go, oh, my God, I can't believe that happened. I can't wait for the next episode. they pretty much done that to the point where it's become, for some... No, it's still good. Don't get me wrong. I'll still end up watching it. It's not like, what am I forgetting? Kevin Spacey. What was the one where he was president?
With Robin.
Was it The Office?
Robin Wright.
Oh, no.
This was comedy.
Was it The Office? That was Steve Carell, not Kevin Spacey.
And we won't have to worry about Kevin Spacey
anymore.
He was
president of The Office. No, Kevin Spacey will not be back. Why am I gapping? House of Cards.
Nice.
Thank you. By the time it rolled into, I find that Yellowstone, it's a completely different storyline, but it is somewhat similar. By the time they rolled into the final, he wasn't even in the final season because he'd been arrested by then. But even the season before that, I kind of stopped. I got about 2 episodes in. And I've never finished the series because it just got stupid.
The exact same thing happened with Ozark. You know, it was one of the first shows I can think of watching, guys, where you realize almost any character is vulnerable. And then I believe they did, 3 seasons? But finished up season 2, And even with the way that finished, I just there was nothing more to do. Like, I just couldn't really follow it along anymore. And I guess that's what difference they are. Maybe the way they do it, because you think back to when we were young and you think about shows like MASH or other things that were on once a week. Didn't mind doing 5-6 seasons because it's kind of spaced out. The way you watch it now, I think it's just so fast and furious all the time that it's like, man, I don't know if we can do any better, where those ones just kind of brought you along. And then I guess it became destination TV because it was a certain time and certain day of the week every week.
I think I would rather watch these series that have kind of done everything and are a little boring than the rabbit hole that my wife has fallen into, which is those freaking Hallmark Christmas movies.
The Christmas movies.
Where she watched back to back on Sunday. Said, if you're going to watch them, you better watch them soon because 4 o'clock, you know, Raiders are going to be on. There's some other action going on.
You only got one TV in your house?
Well, no.
You had seven TVs.
She likes to have everybody together. So, it, you know, you got to share.
That's fine.
It's like old school where you've got just, you pretend that you only have one television.
What are you, a Little House on the Prairie over your house? Or
it's
what?
The Christmas season. You've got to be together.
All the kids are together on their phones.
but not watching.
But at least having the same room.
That is exactly it. You can be on your phone, but you've got to watch this crap.
Now, 15 of them are filmed in Almont. Have you spotted anything of Almont yet?
Okay, so yesterday, the back-to-back, all right, had both the same lead actor, okay, playing the exact same part, which was the head of an ad agency who hated Christmas, who, of course, had an assistant who loved Christmas and was trying to help him enjoy the Christmas spirit.
And they fall in love?
Different movies.
Uh-huh.
Almost the exact same story.
So same lead actor.
Same lead
actor. That guy is cashing them checks.
Wow.
CTC, baby.
Oh. He's got that soap opera, just sharp chin. You know, just...
Oh, he'll be on Bold and the Beautiful before, if he hasn't already been on it.
Well, probably was fired. That's why he's doing these Hallmark movies
now. Good point,
now.
Yeah.
But they all involve ad agencies, fake snow, and the Christmas spirit.
Now, you're going away this weekend. Did you get your tree this weekend? That was the other thing that was on the agenda.
No. What did I tell you? I said, no, this weekend was not going to be the right weekend to get a tree. You can't have it this
early. You're away next weekend. You're going to the Steelers game.
We did not get our tree. I won again. Did not get the tree. My wife wanted the tree. Did not get the tree. We'll get the tree a week from this weekend.
Wow, that's
so look at that, guys.
My tree is up, and I don't even turn it off. It's so beautiful. And I've been buying plants left and right, whatever the Christmas plants are called. And man, do they ever look sharp. And it's just like you walk in, and it's so beautiful. But I feel like you're missing out on the season, Hammer. By the time you get back,
I know where you live now.
It's 3 weeks today.
If I see that tree lit up in your window, I'm chucking eggs at your window. That white, fake Christmas tree you've got going on there.
Hey, I was just thinking, so you're going to see the Steelers, whoever having their worst, most, they're the most just innocuous, anonymous Steeler team in 40 years. You're going to see them host their arch rivals, the Baltimore Ravens, who are now going to be without Lamar Jackson.
Can we mouchoir this? Like, please.
Mouchoir.
One more week, Lamar. Just get through one
more
week.
So you've got everybody's waiting for Kenny Pickett versus, is it Tyler Huntley? I believe it's Tyler Huntley.
And at least he looks like Lamar Jackson. He just runs all the time. I don't know if he could even throw the ball. But they've done this on purpose, I think, right, as far as kind of working in practice. Because remember, they had RG3, right? It's almost like they want the kind of same model. Well, I guess it makes sense.
He's been the backup there for a while.
Oh, has he?
Okay. Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah, he's a very similar style.
Yeah, a little bit of snaps I saw yesterday. It was just, hey, grab it and go. It looked like old school college football running the option.
You know, I'm kind of going just for the experience. I haven't been to an NFL game before. I'm not a Steelers fan. I'm not a Ravens fan, obviously. So I want to see a good game, and I want to see the stars. So now I'm just
let's face it. It's the Ravens and the Steelers. You're there for the fights in the stands and in the parking lot. That's what you're there
for. Yeah, you're going to have a blast, though, Hammer.
Could there
Stop over at Permane Brothers. That's interesting. JR says that. A lot of the NFL games now, especially places like Pittsburgh, hard for the opposition fans to get tickets, right? You know, Miami, you're good to go. LA, you're good to go. But I'd be interested when you go to see what percentage, if any, are Baltimore fans.
Might be a little easier this year.
Be watching your Twitter. If there's fights, that's all I'm going to do. I'm going to be on my phone. I'm going to record them. I'm going to record fights because what's happening on the field, I could care less about.
Exactly. All right. Well, we got lots of NFL to go through, including not just the Lamar Jackson injury, which is not going to be season ending, according to John Harbaugh. So that's good news for Ravens fans. But Jimmy G, again, third time in his career, he's knocked out for the season with an injury. And obviously, it's a huge blow to the Niners playoff and Super Bowl hopes. So we'll go through all the NFL stuff for you throughout the morning, and Duke Ellington will be by later on this morning as well. We've got a lot of hockey stuff to go through, and a winning second winning weekend for the Sens. Two weekends ago, they swept Anaheim and LA, and this weekend it's the Rangers and San Jose, and some very memorable moments from those two wins this weekend. We'll go through all of that with you as well, and go through all the NHL news. We got that. We got Fred McGriff, the crime dog, into the Baseball Hall of Fame. So we'll have details on that as well, and much more on this Monday morning. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200. And JR, Simmer and Hammer with you. Dave Poulin is our TSN Hockey Insider. He will be joining us coming up after 8. Lots of hockey stuff to go through from the weekend. Duke Ellington will be by. We'll talk some NFL with Duke after 9 o'clock, and touch on the big news from the Red Blacks as well. Mm-hmm. Did the Friday afternoon news dump, but positive news, usually put that out other times. But no, they named their new head coach, which is Bob Dice, who, of course, finished the season as the interim coach, is now the full-time coach. It seemed to get, well, at least from the players and the people around the league that know Bob Dice, rave reviews as a person that really connects with people. And Bob Dice, the new coach, and he is going to be bringing along Kahari Jones as the new offensive coordinator. That was announced on Saturday. These two guys worked together way back when in Saskatchewan. And Kahari Jones, of course, has spent some time as an OC in both BC and Montreal. He, of course, was also the head coach in Montreal before he got fired early last season, ended up being a consultant in Hamilton, but Kahari Jones is the new offensive coordinator of the Red Blacks. That was announced on the weekend as well.
Yeah, certainly some great news, JR. And as far as Bob Dice, we kind of already knew, but when I saw that, and I'm not Mr. CFL expert, but Kahari Jones, it sounded like, always did a great job in Montreal. You got some crazy ownership. So as far as putting together a staff so far, that's absolutely outstanding. Some great news as we hit the holidays for the Red Blacks.
Yeah, and we'll see what happens with defensive coordinator Mike Benavides, who has been here the last couple of years under Paul Lapolis, whether he will return or not. That's kind of actually, he'll need to hire a special teams coordinator because that was his job. So I guess there's two coordinator jobs still open to be determined. Maybe we'll find out news on that as soon as this week. So there's your Red Blacks update. All right. Go back to the Sens from the weekend, because those were, for two completely different reasons, two very, I don't say memorable. Friday's game was very memorable. Saturday's game, a little bit less so, but had memorable moments, to be sure. The one Saturday, of course, the 5-2 win over San Jose. I think most people talking about the shift, the penalty-killing shift involving Travis Hamonic and the broken stick, and Sens holding on, and then the result.
Still no stick for Hamonic. He wants a forward stick here. He's begging Mott to give him his.
DeBrincat gives him his. It's a mini stick. Back through the box. Hurdle to the corner. Back in front. Barabanov. Shuttle pass just misses. 3 seconds to go in the power play. Centering pass deflected away. Shabbat's out.
What a kill.
Tipped away. Carlson centers it in front. Oh, what a save from Forsberg.
Still can't get it out, though, Dean.
Puck comes out of the line. Here's a chance. Giroux in all alone. Lines, fires, scores! He punches that right through the back of the net.
There it is. Dean Brown, Gord Wilson with the end call of that penalty kill shift with about 4 minutes to go, resulting in Claude Giroux going in on a breakaway. And then, of course, with a slap shot, because who doesn't do that on a breakaway? For the final goal in what would be a 5-2 exclamation point victory over the San Jose Sharks. And what a moment and a great crowd. And man alive, were they very appreciative of that moment on Saturday.
Yeah, it was interesting, JR, right from the anthem. It was just old vibes as far as, first of all, they put the flag out on the opposite side right near the TSN set, which was kind of cool, the unveiling of the Canadian flag. But everybody's singing, and then all of a sudden the carryover from Friday night, Brady Tkachuk scored. And the energy in the building is incredible. And as the game moved along and the excitement and in being at and listening to that call, which is outstanding, in watching the crowd giving Forsberg a standing ovation, but there was a swell in the crowd when all of a sudden Drew picked up the puck. And I got to be honest with you, by the time he scored, that was kind of reminiscent of the old 2017 playoff run. The excitement and energy in that building overall Saturday, but certainly when he scored, oh, it was just absolutely incredible. It was a really, really fun night for a little ice hockey and a great win for Ottawa.
Here is Claude Giroux on the shift.
You know, the PK did a good job, and Hammer lost his stick, and Forsey made a lot of big saves. And, you know, I just jumped on the ice and was able to get on a breakaway. So, you know, it was a crazy sequence.
Would you describe slapshot all the way on that?
In between periods, I told Pinto I was going to score on a slap shot, so I didn't really have a choice.
That's when you know you're really relaxed as a hockey player, when as you're going down on a breakaway, you're thinking in the back of your mind, oh, yeah, I had a conversation with Pinto in the dressing room and said I'd if I got a breakaway, I'd do a slap shot.
Yeah.
That's when you know you're not a nervous rookie any longer, I guess.
No, it just incredible in the case of Claude Giroux. Reminded me of slap shot when he took out the Oregon player. To see him stop up JR the way he did, the confidence, and it's just a laser. And it was interesting for Drew, who played very well. I think the real story of the night was the power play, the main unit, and the absolute domination, how much fun that was. But in the case of Drew, you get one from the high slot that you absolutely just feather right in, top glove side, and then you score that way. So, yeah, it was really a fun night for him. And like you say, that's a confident play because it's one of those ones where it's almost like doing the between the legs. When it doesn't work at a key moment, now this is 4-2, you're kind of like, what the hell were you doing? But he just absolutely blew it past the goaltender.
Claude Giroux, 24 games, 11 goals, 23 points. He's been a point-a-game player through the first almost one-third of the season, and I don't know that anybody thought that when Claude Giroux was signed. It was signed for, yeah, it's still a pretty good hockey player, but it's the everything else part as well, the leadership and et cetera, but the production has been there as well. Outstanding. He's been everything they could have wished for and more. So far.
Well, and the other part, and you give him credit to it, JR, but in the case of Stützle and Tkachuk, just before our very eyes, have gone next level. I mean, Barry Tkachuk's strength, his shot, and Stützle, one of the best athletes on the ice, you mix that in, and what is impressive, because that is a very good line, but Claude Giroux doesn't get a whole lot of feature time on the power play, but you go back to Philadelphia, and certainly with Florida, like a big part of his thing was being on the number one power play, so nope. It's been a great fit, and I'm sure it's helped somehow, but those two guys have just gone next level. I mean, they are headed right for stardom, are Brady Tkachuk and Tim Stützle.
Yeah, and we'll talk about Brady Tkachuk's night on Friday in the next hour. That was unbelievable. Here's head coach DJ Smith on the Sens getting results.
No one cares who's ahead in chances. You got to win games, but there's a different feel in the room. I think there's a feel of belief of how we have to play. To win games. Certainly we haven't won enough at home. We've played better on the road tonight. We grinded one out. But at the end of the day, it usually does even itself out. Those numbers, if you look over time, they even themselves out, and maybe this is that.
There you go. There is DJ Smith after the game. He's talking about the underlying numbers that he and Pierre Dorion have referred to many times when even though the victories weren't going to be there, they were saying all these things do even out over time. And maybe with 4 wins and 5, maybe we're starting to see a little bit of that.
Yeah, it's hard when you watch it because I think I look at it and I think I break this down a little differently, whether you're working for a team or watching a team. You know, one of the big stories that has settled in now has been the goaltending tandem. And if they want to get back to 500, which I think somebody pointed out, they can go 6-3-1 before Christmas time, JR. Obviously, they would be 16-16-1, but Talbot, and in the case of Forsberg, I thought just incredibly sharp on some high danger chances in the second. And obviously, it's funny how we talk about a great PK, but at the same time, he's doing the Dominic Hasek on that breakdown. Like, that's been a big part of it. So it's that. And to me, if you look at rhythm and you look at a lot of games, what can that do? You can get both your goaltenders going, and they can get your power play off pretty comfortable. And when you talk about the number one penalty kill in the National Hockey League in San Jose, they just absolutely schooled them. Those are the two things I'm looking at. If you're going to have some sustained wins for Ottawa, those are the two things they're going to carry right now because I'm not totally sold on their even strength scoring. And let's face facts here on the back end with Zubot. They're a little bit on the thin side.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah, the Sens, and I kind of went through it a little bit on social media yesterday. They're a very top-heavy team, and it's getting them results right now. And I don't want to sit here and quibble.
Nope.
We've quibbled enough when they've lost enough. Yeah. So, right now it's the top end of the roster that's carrying them. And as you said, things like the power play. I mean, that was 3 goals on Saturday. That was, in addition to great goaltending, that was the shift. And with the 3 power play goals against, I have no reason to understand why San Jose has the best penalty killing in the league. Their goaltending is very average at best, like by its numbers. Let alone the fact that, who knows what makes up a good PK, right? You've got good guys that are...
Well, usually is a good goalie.
Their goaltending, it's not like their goaltending is top of the NHL.
No, it's
that may be one of those weird things where it's just, you know, it's a third of the way through the season and and maybe their PK falls apart.
Yeah, exactly. You'd have to look at matchups, and you know, and in the case of look at how well Martin Jones is playing in Seattle, but Kakinen to Dell right now. Yeah, I totally agree. And without watching it in the past, if you had just watched that game, I mean, again, the Ottawa Senators, first of all, I give credit to the power play unit, but it looked like the Russian Five. I mean, they were dominating. They were rotating. It was really fun to watch live, JR, and you could see that was the difference. And as I said, now you got both goaltenders hopefully healthy in a very busy December. I think if we, you know, fast forward a month from now, and they're able to win some hockey games, as I said, I think it's going to be a lot about the goaltending and a lot about that first power play.
LA Kings in town tomorrow. Speaking of goaltending, at this point, they have the worst goaltending in the National Hockey League to the LA Kings. Despite that, they are right now in a playoff spot, so the Kings are here tomorrow. Then the Sens go on the road for a couple of games. The Dallas Stars in Dallas on Thursday, and of course, the Stars are playing great this year. Jason Robertson has, he's an early season Hart Trophy candidate. Mm-hmm. So they play in Dallas on Thursday, and then a Saturday afternoon game in Nashville against the Preds before they return home 1 week from tonight to take on the Anaheim Ducks. So, you know, Kings have been okay, not great. Dallas has been really good. Nashville's been okay, not great. And Anaheim is worst in the league. So, next four games over the next week. There's some winnable games in there.
I think you look at those two home games, Jared, and absolutely you should win. You beat them on the road. You're the better team. Dallas, I think, will be a great test, and I have not broken it down, but I thought Nashville, after getting off to a terrible start, they must have played some decent hockey, because they are, I think I looked over the weekend, 12-9-3, so a couple of good tests, but I think Dallas is one of those games, as you're playing well, but I think that's you should look forward to and kind of embrace and say, hey, nice test here against one of the better teams in the NHL.
All right, so that is the week ahead for the Sens. So your thoughts on what you saw on the weekend. Do you think the Sens have turned the corner? You can text us at 12-1200, tweet at us at TSN1200, and we'll put the questions to Dave Poulin, our TSN hockey insider as well, when he joins us after 8 o'clock. And next hour, I want to touch on Brady Tkachuk's night on Friday, because as good as and Saturday, it's good to be there, right? And great to have your hometown fans. That was something else on Friday. I mean, that was an all-world performance. All right, we'll get to that next hour. When we come back, World Cup, a little bit of baseball news for you as well, and we'll touch on the NFL. Some really good games yesterday. A lot of the top teams ended up playing each other, so that was good. But also a couple of very significant injuries, including a season ender for Jimmy G and the 49ers. And is Jimmy G's season ender a 49ers championship ender? We'll get into all of that discussion when we return on this Monday morning. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200. Coming up for you again today, two more quarterfinal games. 10 o'clock Japan, one of the surprise teams, takes on Croatia, who of course came out of Canada's group. And then this afternoon it's Brazil versus South Korea, and it was South Korea that gave us maybe in terms of team play, the signature moment so far, and that incredible goal they scored near the end of regulation in the game last week, which propelled them into the knockout stages. But now they get a date with the big boys coming up today as they take on Brazil this afternoon.
Yeah, I would say early on, Jared, in the round of 16, no upsets, right? All the big boys are going through.
It's kind of like you're separating the quarterfinals. They're separating the wheat from the chaff.
Oh, that's so solid.
Thank you. Hey? Thank you. Thank you very much, yeah. Well, the Dutchies took care of the U.S. Anybody surprised at that?
No, and nobody's disappointed either.
Hey? Were you not getting, after the Americans got a goal, were you not getting a little bit worried?
Well, in terms
USA
of...
USA was taking the play to them.
They let them have the ball most of the game. That was a strategy. And time they would... Yeah, absolutely. You don't have to have the ball the whole time. They counterattacked.
Have the ball. We don't need the ball to score. Please, carry it. Dribble it. Enjoy the game.
You can counterattack and sometimes have a more success than just kicking the ball around the pitch.
The Dutchies are coached by Jacques Lemaire. So that's what they're doing. It's just trapping the whole game, Hammer.
Now, is that what Argentina was doing with Australia as well?
The Socceroos?
When they almost tied it in the final, in the dying seconds of extra time?
That one turned out to be a little closer than I think most people anticipated.
That was fun. And sadly, for the way Messi, it's gone for him at the international level, JR, that wouldn't have been out of their playbook to end up losing that game to Australia, right?
I mean,
it's been a pretty tough go for that that country.
All right, so two more quarterfinals today and two final ones tomorrow, and then we're into the quarterfinals starting on Friday, and it's now set itself up for a marquee matchup on Saturday when France plays England.
Man.
Somebody's going home early who thought they were going home late in that one.
Is the quarterfinal early?
Yeah, I think when
maybe
you're
for those two clubs,
for those two teams, yeah, with you know, France is the defending champion, and England is. A lot of people are now saying, well, they went to the final of the Euro. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are saying they've got an opportunity to win. So yeah, somebody's going home early. Yes, it fits.
Well, and in the case of England, it's accurate. They have never won the World Cup of soccer, have they?
They won in '66.
Okay,
so it's been a while. They have a very Leafian, a Maple Leaf feel.
So to the point of, hey, they're looking at a window now, an opportunity, and a matchup, and everything else. So yeah, that's going to be delicious.
Mbappe. Mbappe continues to fill the onion bag. Two more goals yesterday. He's got five. He's got eight goals in the World Cup. He's not even 24 years old. Yeah. Like, he, at this pace, is going to shatter all of the World Cup goal scoring.
Right? Yeah, he's right there with Pele. They're showing some numbers, and unfortunately, it sounds like Pele is, I know they had a little salute to him over the weekend, but watching him score, JR, my oh my, it's just so powerful and so beautiful. In the middle of a lot of pressure to basically be able to cut the ball the way he does. What a great athlete.
All right, 6:44, football, NFL, a lot of good matchups yesterday. I should say Miami and San Francisco was a really good matchup. Mm-hmm. The Dolphins have been really good this year, and San Fran has really been coming on with Jimmy G taking over, and was this going to be another year that Jimmy G sort of outlast the critics? Unfortunately, that's not going to be the case as far as Jimmy G is concerned because of this.
It'll bring up a second down and 10 for Miami.
Yeah, well, I got worse news. Jimmy Garoppolo's on the cart headed for the locker room right in front of you there.
Wow, Jimmy is being carted off the field. It looks like a left ankle injury possibly on that third down sack he suffered when they blitzed the linebacker. Jerome Baker and Jalen Phillips also got him.
Yeah, turned out to be actually not an ankle injury, but a foot injury, as the sacker's knee came right down on his twisted foot. And Jimmy G diagnosed with broken bones in his foot. He'll need surgery and is out for the season. Here's 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan on emotions in the locker room.
I mean, just hearing it was pretty crushing. I mean, we know what Jimmy's been through, how hard he's worked at this. You know, I got that news a little in the second quarter, so it was a little different for me. Even just how happy we were with that game. That was a really cool game, just as a team, and but definitely mixed emotions hearing about Jimmy. I told the guys right after the game, and so I know that gave them some mixed emotions fast too. But it was a hell of a job by Brock coming in, stepping it up. He did a real good job today, and we're going to be ready to do our best to overcome this.
Brock would be Brock Purdy, who is now, ball's yours, kid. Good luck. Last pick in the 2022 draft. Seven rounds, the last pick is now the starting quarterback for a team that has Super Bowl aspirations, has a Super Bowl caliber defense, to be sure. The question now is, can Brock Purdy, a rookie quarterback in the NFL, be able to do enough to get enough points for the offense for the 49ers to continue to be successful?
Well, you still have a hell of a running game, and I guess you're all in when you make the McCaffrey trade, JR. Is there a possibility via somebody that isn't playing, and I know not Colin Kaepernick, but as far as somebody else cutting a player and possibly end up with a quarterback, like, do they have any options, or is it just, you know, straight
cutting a player that's currently under contract, or are you talking about somebody who's retired?
No, both. But if somebody cut a quarterback from, like, a veteran quarterback and he's a free agent, would they be able to sign him at that point?
Yep.
Okay. I just wondered.
Why would anybody cut a quarterback who's any good?
Well, if you're a non-playoff team, and I think about a guy like Brissett, like, if there's something that was out there and someone wanted to do you a favor, that's all. I just wondered if they'd try to get creative.
I don't think anybody's doing you a favor.
No. Well, in the NFL, you do. I mean, there's teams that could be, there'd be teams that are way out of the playoffs that maybe you work something at the draft. That's all. I try to get creative.
Even the NFL, which is shenanigans written all over it, would not be looking kindly upon, oh yeah, you cut him so that he can be signed by somebody else and we'll do something back for you at the draft.
Yeah.
That would be, I don't think other teams would look too kindly upon that, would they?
Oh, no, they wouldn't. But as I said, I'm just saying, if there's a quarterback out there, let's say a situation where he's a backup, the team's not going to make the playoffs, and maybe his contract's expiring, do you give him an opportunity to go somewhere and play? I guess I look at it from the NHL, and not that you can do that, but are there favors done once in a while? Yeah, but I don't know the NFL as well.
Yeah. Anyway, so that is the news. By the way, San Fran did win the game 33-17, so they remain a game ahead of Seattle in the NFC West. Dolphins fall out of a tie with Buffalo in the AFC East. Bills, of course, had won on Thursday. Dolphins fall to 8-4. Bills at 9-3. In fact, the Bills are now back into first overall in the AFC, and that's because Kansas City lost to Cincinnati.
Burrow wants to throw. Short pass. Caught at the 5. Boom. Chris Evans into the end zone. Touchdown! Bengals! Cincinnati takes the lead with 8:54 to go.
And they would hold the lead. 27-24 is the final. And I don't know what it is about the Bengals with the Chiefs, but that is their kryptonite, because that is now 3 straight wins for Cincinnati over Kansas City. At the end of last season, of course, in the AFC Championship game, and now in this big game in the middle of this season. So the Bengals with a big win, and they knocked the Chiefs. Well, the Chiefs are now 9-3, tied with the Bills, but because the Bills won head-to-head over Kansas City earlier in the season, they have the tiebreaker.
Yeah, and I was watching that game, JR. Fun to watch. Sounds like every guy that does color on the football is a former offensive lineman, and I just love their enthusiasm. But Joe Burrow and his confidence going in head-to-head against Patrick Mahomes, that's the other storyline. And for some strange reason, they also pointed back to Andy Reid when he was with Philadelphia. He actually had some trouble with the Bengals. But that was a fun, just toe-to-toe match. And that's without having Joe Mixon in the lineup and overall defense being better. And, you know, it's just really, well, Joe Burrow, it's just so impressive to watch this guy. When we watch between him and, I guess, would you say Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, are they the three best in the business? Or do you put the Eagles quarterback in that category as well, Jer?
The way he's playing this year, yeah.
It's fun to watch these guys command a game, absolutely. I guess. You know, it just feels like they're like, hey, no matter what's going on, hey, we got you. Yeah, we're going to find a way to lead you to victory.
Cincinnati's now won 4 in a row. They're now tied or remain tied with Baltimore, which barely got by the Broncos, thanks to a long drive at the end of the game and a touchdown with about 28 seconds to go. They beat the Broncos 10-9. That would have been for a 4 fans only game. That just sounds dreadful. First of all, the Broncos are dreadful to begin with, and they drag the Ravens right down with them, but Baltimore gets the win to remain at 8-4. But as we mentioned earlier in the show, Lamar Jackson injured during the game, left in the after the first quarter with a I believe it's a knee injury. John Harbaugh says it could be days or weeks, but is not season ending. So Lamar Jackson should be good to be back late in the season. And if the Ravens, and right now they're in a playoff spot, if they make the playoffs, would be good to go there.
Yeah, and for Lamar Jackson, certainly a gamer, JR. It'll be interesting to see how he handles his knee, because it's also been a big story in Baltimore of him not having a contract extension. And when do you also start looking at your own future when it comes to something like that?
All right. Meanwhile, in the NFC, the Eagles improved to an NFL best 11-1. They were taking on Tennessee, and I know a lot of people said, yeah, the Eagles, they're good, but I mean, they haven't beaten anybody this year. Okay, well, you can only beat the teams that are put in front of you, but okay, fine. How about Tennessee? Is Tennessee a good matchup? Yeah, what? Don't be doing that.
Well, they're an excellent defense, right?
Well, after yesterday, maybe you can go, is Tennessee any good? But going into the game, I think people thought the Titans were good.
Hurts back, pumps, looks. He is floating it deep for A.J. Brown, who has it.
He took it.
And he scores! A.J. Brown took it away from Trey Avery and scored his second touchdown of the game.
There you go, A.J. Brown against his old team. And, man, did he enjoy that. A pair of touchdowns. As the Eagles take care of the Titans, 35-10 to improve to 11-1.
Yeah, and I think just thankful for your Eagles, JR, that they've lost the one game. So you're not talking about 12-0 and all that baggage. Hey, just keep playing some real good football, and also did a great job against Derrick Henry yesterday, right? I mean, it's
30-yard. He's been well. I don't know if he in particular, but that whole off the running offense of the Titans has just they're in a slump right now. He only had 30 yards yesterday, but it's been about 4 games now. Anybody that's got Derrick Henry in fantasy football knows it has not been good for the last month or so.
No, and then that foot injury he had at the end of last year, and again, maybe it's just tactical. A lot more people slowing him down in the backfield, JR, right, which I assume is the game plan. Try to trip up the big tree before he kind of gets off and running or ends up straight-arming you when he gets to the outside. And the Eagles did a great job of that yesterday.
All right. Eagles remain 2 up on Dallas, which played Indy last night in Sunday Night Football. It was relatively close. Well, it was close. It was a one-point game at halftime. And even relatively close until the fourth quarter when the Cowboys poured it on.
Dallas needs another takeaway. Ryan will play fake, and under pressure, he screens it right to the tight end.
Fumble.
And it's fumbled by the tight end. It's picked up by Hooker. Hooker again. Five. Touchdown. Can you believe that? Oh, have a night, Malik Hooker.
Yeah. Two interceptions and that fumble return for a touchdown for Malik Hooker, who used to play for the Colts. Part of a 33-point fourth quarter for Dallas as they go on to beat Indy 54-19. I cannot overstate how bad Matt Ryan is as a quarterback. I mean, I know he didn't fumble in that case. I know that. But he threw three interceptions. He fumbled another time. Like, he is a turnover machine, which Indy is just not good enough to overcome.
No, and I don't know if it's a bad stat, but they now have 30 fumbles in 13 games. So in managing the football.
I think that's how
is
you that put
real?
That down as bad.
Well, I heard it on the overnight radio show, and I knew it was a nugget I had to bring, so I did not fact check it, but they were just giving it. I thought that's what they said. Now, would it be 30 turnovers? But he said 30 fumbles in 13 games.
I think
games.
30 turnovers.
Okay.
30 fumbles
okay.
seems like that's,
okay. Okay.
Yeah, that's it. Whatever it is, it's far too many. They had six turnovers, I think, or five turnovers in the game last night.
And managing the football has not been a very good year for Indianapolis Colts.
No, it has not. So the Cowboys improved to 9-3 with the win. They're 2 points back, or two wins back of the Eagles. Everything pointing toward Eagles versus Cowboys on Christmas Eve as the game that will decide the division and could decide who has the best record in the NFC East or in the NFC period, which, of course, best record in the conference gets you the all-important first-round playoff bye.
So how are you going to watch that game, Jerry? Have you?
I'm all good.
Are you?
My wife and I had the discussion because we got three kids now.
Three
kids with boyfriends. We were talking about how are we going to navigate Christmas because, you know, they want to spend blah, blah, blah. And
were you forthcoming, like right at the start
no,
of the conversation?
No, it fell into
you
my lap.
Nice.
It fell into my lap because they said, yeah, the girls want to spend Christmas Eve with their boyfriends. And I'm like, he shoots, he scores.
Oh, darn.
Oh, wow. Good for them. Good for them, I said. You know what? That's important.
You know you're going to the in-laws now, though.
They're coming over on Christmas Day. So we're
I can hear there. The piano. I can hear the piano playing while you're trying to watch your game.
Can you keep it down in there?
I'm just gonna slide out. Check on tomorrow's
turkey.
Check on the turkey.
Well, it's not till tomorrow.
I don't know if I put my golf clubs in the basement or not.
Monday Night Football to wrap up Week 13. It's the Saints at the Bucs. Two bad to average teams, somehow both still in contention to win the NFC South. So it actually is an important game for both. We'll have it for you. 7:30 pregame, 8:15 kickoff from Tampa. All right, 6:56. We can't end the first hour when we kind of go through everything from the weekend without touching on yesterday's 67s game. And again, we're not here to celebrate violence at all, especially in the junior hockey game. 67s won the game. That's the most important thing. 6-2. They sweep the weekend. They're now 21-4, I believe it is, on the season. They've had a great season so far. But yesterday's rather chippy affair with the Petes ended this way. Here's our friend Kenny Walls.
Mateer couldn't get there. It trickles out into the neutral zone, and we'll get a whistle as Lockhart again getting into it. I never realized how feisty Lockhart was as Robertson getting into it as well. And now everybody's involved. Mateer got in there. No. Okay, now we've got Colin McKenzie going with Liam Stuska. We've got a goalie fight here. 11.4 seconds remaining. McKenzie and Stuska. McKenzie comes over the top. Stuska goes down. And now he's throwing punches with a player on the ice. And that we know is a suspension. A good old goalie fight. Ross Gordon Wilson said nothing better than a good old goalie fight.
Oh, there's nothing better than a good goaltending fight.
I wonder, I don't think Gord was there, but if he's not, there it is. There's Kenny Walls with the call of, at the end of the game, I don't want to say sort of out of nothing, but we had a goaltending fight between Colin McKenzie, the goalie for the 67s, and the Peterborough goalie, which ended up with both. I think it's an automatic game misconduct for both. It's not that in the NHL level, right? If you're a goalie getting a fight, you still are allowed to stay in the game? Is that right, Summer?
No. Anytime you're a secondary fight, which the goaltenders almost always are, you're out of the game.
It wasn't in this case, though.
No,
it was the only fight.
No, that's what I mean. But in the NHL, that's usually the way it plays.
Isn't it if you cross, as a goalie, if you cross the red line?
Which one of them has to. Yeah, unless it's Hatch.
Yeah, that's a good point, because that's it.
Come on,
because technically they almost met at the... Now, from the 67s, and I'm only saying from a fighting perspective, technique needs to be worked on.
Uh-huh.
That left hip, as he came around, left him vulnerable, and he ended up on the bottom, which I historically understand how important that is, the fight. But, yeah, it's so strange, guys, when it comes to fights, and I get some of it on my social media. Man, at the lower levels, I don't have any interest to watch either kids in minor hockey, or I know there's, like, little brawls that happen, or and the goalie fight's a bit different. They kind of did it, and they hit the ice, but... Man, I'm still surprised for Dave Branch, and you look at some of the suspensions he's given Boucher, I'm still surprised here that there is actual fighting in the Ontario Hockey League.
Well, there's not much of it anymore.
No, I know that, but there shouldn't be any. You know, I mean, I'm not saying it won't happen, but I just start throwing out five-game suspensions for every fight. I just think, I don't personally have the appetite for it. The hockey's good enough. The entertainment's good enough. Leave it alone, personally.
All right. 6-2 is the final, and yeah, there probably will be, well, as Kenny mentioned there, because there were punches thrown while the players were on the ice, will result in a suspension or suspensions. And listen, if we're talking about goalie fights, we might as well end the hour with a classic.
And now, Hatch wants Bishop. Go! Go, you two, go! I want to see it! Come on, Benny! Hatch wants Bishop! Here we go!
Here we
Hatch
go!
And Bishop go. Going at it! The two goalies! Here we go! They're squaring off at center! The crowd going nuts! Bishop backing off! Now he wants Hatch! Get in there, Ben! Fight! Ah, here we go! Bishop lands up right! Takes down Hatch! Crowd going crazy!
I wonder if that guy must be on NBC by now, right? His first play-by-play.
He's doing UFC, actually. Yeah, there you go. So just to differentiate, that was at the minor pro level, right?
Is that
some sort of Texas league?
No, it was the Texas Junior League.
Texas
right?
Junior, okay, yeah. All right. So
he would have played there before he went to, what, University of Maine, Ben Bishop?
Did he go to Maine? Anyway, he ended up with a very good NHL career, but yeah, that's where it all began, with that goalie fight. Maybe that's where people started to learn all about Ben Bishop. All right, anyway, 67s win the game, most importantly. 6-2, all right, 7 o'clock. Top of the hour news and sports update is on the way. We'll bring you right up to date, and then in the next hour, we're going to touch on Brady Tkachuk's night on Friday. Certainly had people talking throughout the weekend. Everybody was still buzzing about it Saturday for the Sen Sharks game, but his night, speaking of fights and overtime heroics and everything in between. DJ Smith called it maybe the best performance he's seen from anybody in his four-plus seasons with the Sens. We'll chat about that when we return on this Monday. We're glad you're with us on Sports Radio TSN 1200.